Okay, we're going to learn, Eiz Hashem Yisbarach, a little bit of the Kutasichas, Sicha and Parshas Miketz, the first Sicha. I learn a little bit more, but some to try to understand it, or some ideas more deeper. So generally, see the structure of the basic Sicha, and then go a little bit more, but I make it in the email of the Sicha. So the story, the Sicha bases itself on this, on the pisrim of the Chalemis of Yosef, that Yosef was placed with the Chalemis, Yosef interpreted the dreams of Pari. Pari has a dream, and the dream, Sheva Paris, about the seven lean cows and the seven fat cows, and then the stalks of grain. So the interpretation of Yosef is that the seven cows, the healthy cows represent the 7 years of plenty. The seven lean cows represent the 7 years of famine. So then also the seven stalks of grain. The seven stalks of grain that were lean represent the years of famine, and the ones that were filled represents the years of plenty. This is the interpretation of the dream. So the question is, Yosef interprets the dream. Pari is very impressed by the interpretation of the dream. And so much is he impressed with the interpretation of a dream that he actually anoints Yosef to be the Mishnah Lamelech and the one that's going to be in charge of distributing the food that was gathered during the years of plenty for the years of famine. And the question is, we'll ask a few questions. First question is, how is it possible that none of the Chatum and Zion, none of the interpreters of the dreams of Pharaoh were able to interpret the dream that fat cows versus lean cows and healthy stalks of grain versus lean stalks of grain, that they represent years of plenty, years of famine? That seems to be the first instinct almost to understand the dream, that if you look at something that seems to be the same animal, and one dream appears to be healthy, and one dream seems to be the opposite of healthy. So obviously it has to do with, and cows and stalks of grain represent food. So then, of course, it means that there'll be years of plenty and years of famine. What is the great novelty of Yosef's interpretation that no one was able to interpret the dream like Yosef? This is the first question. What is the great wisdom that we find in Yosef? The second question is, after Yosef interprets the dream, Yosef actually adds, and it says, "Va'ata," and now, what you shall do, since you know that it's going to be the 7 years of famine, meaning 7 years following the 7 years of plenty, what you should do is you should establish a system, you should have someone in charge, that collects enough grain, enough food in the years of plenty that will help us survive in the years of famine. So the question is, obviously, how is this part of the dream interpretation? It seems to be Yosef is suggesting something to the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh says, "I have a dream, and I need an interpretation of the dream." Yosef interprets the dream for the years of plenty and years of famine. Then Yosef adds, sort of mixing in to the rulership of Egypt, saying that, you know, if you listen to me and if you do this correctly, you can actually prepare for the years of famine, for the years of plenty by gathering enough food for survival for the years of famine. But why does Yosef offer advice? First of all, it seems like he's only asked to give the interpretation of the dream. And this seems very ostentatious of Yosef. In fact, he's a lowly slave, and here he's talking to the Pharaoh, and actually offering him advice. How does this understand? So this is also a question. The questions are really, what everyone wants to understand is, because this is an obvious question, what is the greatness of racist interpretation? These are the two basic questions. What's the greatness of racist interpretation? It seems to be a very simple interpretation. And how does Yosef add advice when he's only asked to interpret the dream? Rashi doesn't ask this question. And the fact that Rashi doesn't ask this question means that somehow in the Pshuta Shalmikra, in the little understanding of the Pesukim, if you read the Pesukim well enough, you don't actually need Rashi to tell you the answer. Just by reading the Pesukim, you must say, is that it's preposterous, that it's, or that it's hinted in a Rashi, or that it's so simple in the reading of the Pesukim and the verses that you can understand it. Then the Rebbe goes in to explain a little bit the Rashi. And then goes to explain what Rashi brings down in the name of the Medrash, that the interpreters of Parah's dream were actually able to interpret the dream. But they interpret the dream saying that seven represents, seven healthy cows represent the seven children, healthy children you'll have, and represents the seven unhealthy clean cows represent that these seven children will actually die. But the question is, why don't they think about the original, the simple interpretation of literally the pshat, that if it's a healthy cow, it represents, not metaphorically, I'll say that seven is a number. So instead of saying seven as a seven is years, I'll say seven is a number of people, children, and years of plenty means you'll have them, they'll be healthy children, and years of the opposite. And lean cows represent the deaths of them. But if you think about it on a literal level, the literal level actually makes even more sense, that the seven cows that are healthy cows represents the 7 years that would be years of plenty, and the seven lean cows represents the years that would be famine. So why do they go to the allegorical interpretation of the dreams? So there are things down there, Barbanel. It says, because now Barbanel argues, it says, Barbanel is the last of the Chachmas Svard, one of the Rishis Svard, one of the great Jews that were expelled from Spain during the expulsion of Spain. So the Barbanel says that this difference is that the Chatumim, the interpreters of the dreams were using prop. We're trying to understand dreams the way, more or less, the way a modern understanding of dreams. But dreams represent, is a metaphor, it's something that's seen in an unclear vision. It's something that arises from within a person, and therefore they're interpreting the dream as a metaphor. So the lean cows and the fat cows represent the death of children, the birth of children. But they're not reading it kapshutta, but literally, that it actually means famine and years of plenty. And Yosef Atzad, because he has Ruach HaKodesh, he understands that it actually means literal. But the Rebbe says this interpretation of the Barbanel is a beautiful interpretation, but it's not according to pshat. We don't find anywhere in the Torah, on a pshat level, on a literal level, that there is this distinction between these two types of dreams. Anyways, the Rebbe goes through all different ways of understanding these questions and offers a few different interpretations and then dismisses them. And this is something that we find throughout the Kutasichas, something that's very unique in the Torah of the Rebbe. That when the Rebbe wants to present an answer to a question, the first thing that is done is first to bring down all the possible interpretations that were offered up until this point. From all the Gedolei HaRishonim, including some of the Baal HaKeda and the Barbanel, some of the more philosophical interpretations of from the Gedolei HaRishonim, even from the later Rishonim, and from the Gedolei HaAchronim, certainly its interpretations of Rashi, to see if anyone touches upon these questions. And before the Chiddush is offered, before the Rebbe's Chiddush is offered, it's ensured that there's no, all the other interpretations were exhausted, and then there's going to be the Chiddush. So the Rebbe's Chiddush is like this. What the Rebbe's Mechalish is like this. This is what the second interpretation is. That the main problem of the dream, this understanding helps answer both questions simultaneously, why they didn't think about it, and why Yosef not only thinks about it, but offers also advice of what should be done, is that the pasuk talks about, in the story where Pare is seeing the dream, it says, that he sees that there are seven other cows, that there was healthy cows, and then he sees that there are seven lean cows arising from the Nile. And the lean cows actually stood right next to the healthy cows, which means that they were simultaneously standing together. That means that it weren't in a sequence, the first one thing happened and then the second thing happened, but rather they were simultaneous. They were simultaneously things happening. Therefore, it's possible. That's why Rashi offers this, the interpretation of that you will have seven children will die. It's possible that because Pare was married, was a very powerful man in the ancient world, was married to many women, it's possible that he would have seven children simultaneously that are born, and seven children that will simultaneously pass away. And therefore, that's why Rashi offers that interpretation, because of Atamoidna Itzla Paris, because it says that he stood next to it, it must mean that things were happening simultaneously. And that's the genius of Yosef. That when Yosef understands that the dream occurs, even though in the pshat of the sukkim, interestingly, there ever brings down an aura 42, it actually doesn't repeat itself. When Pare repeats the story to Yosef, it doesn't repeat this detail. But the pashas, it means that he repeated everything, like the Ramban brings down, that Yosef sees these two things simultaneously and says that these two animals, the lean animals and the fat animals that he's seen simultaneously get together, means the seven actually means literal seven in terms of 7 years. The fatter animals represent years of plenty. The leaner animals represent years of famine. And the reason why the lean animals were standing next to the healthy animals, and they were standing together by the Nile, which is the Nile is the source of all sustenance in the ancient world of Egypt, is because Yosef understood that there was a chibur, there was a unity between these two things. That even though they're in sequence seven and then the next seven, first is the years of plenty, then is the years of famine, but Yosef understood that the reason why he's seeing them simultaneously is because he's supposed to draw a connection between them. What is the connection between them? If during the years of plenty, the people will gather food for the years of famine, that means that during the years of plenty, 7 years of plenty, they would sense, they would be present in their mind, the years of famine. Then during the years of famine, the years of plenty will be present because you'll have food to eat during the years of famine. And that's the chiddush which Yosef understands. Yosef understands that they're being shown that they're standing simultaneously so they can draw within each other. During the years of the famine, during the years of plenty, he should gather enough food for the years of the famine. So thinking about the famine. And there's a year of the famine, you'll have enough food that gathered from the years of the plenty. And that's actually why he says this, why he offers this advice. The advice is part of vi'ata. And this is what you should do, he tells Pharaoh. That you shall anoint someone to be in charge of gathering enough food during the years of plenty for the years of famine. It's not an additional thing that he's adding. He's saying this is actually part of the dream interpretation. The reason why you're seeing the most those things simultaneously is because they're supposed to be together. You're supposed to gather during the years of plenty for the years of famine. And that's the chiddush of Yosef's interpretation. That answers the question, all the questions. Answers the question why Yosef gives an interpretation, why it's according to even Pshuta Shel Mikra, how is the answer, how you can see the answer, and it answers the question why they weren't thinking about it, they were thinking about a different context, and Yosef was able to understand it, the complete chibur between unity between these two ideas. This is the nigla part of the interpretation of the sikha. And then the Rebbe continues on Pnimius. And the Rebbe continues according to Pnimius. And according to Pnimius, the dreams of Paro is really the beginning of the Aschala, the beginning of the Golus Mitzrayim, because once once Paro has the dream, then he establishes Yosef to be his second in command. Once Yosef is in second command, he becomes someone that can offer sustenance to his brothers when he's during the years of famine in Eretz Yisrael, they can come to Mitzrayim. And therefore, that begins the Aschala of Eilu Shmois B'nei Yisrael L'Boi Mitzrayim. This is the beginning of Klal Yisrael entering into Mitzrayim. So the beginning of Golus begins with these dreams. And that's the reason, and that's the reason that it's connected to the world of dream. Because dream, the Alter Rebbe explains, Alter Rebbe writes in Torah, that we are like dreamers, that Golus represents a state of dream. Why does Golus represent the state of dream? Because in a dream state, we can have two rapidly successive things almost simultaneously, contradictory things. Now, there's an aura in the Fruit of Gavra's Mamar, that Rebbe writes that it's impossible to see a pillow kupa de machto. You can't see a paradox in a dream. You can't see an elephant walking through the head of a needle, because that's an impossibility. That's an imnam nois. If the elephant is still the size of an elephant, the needle still remains the size of a needle pin, and the head of the needle, then it's impossible for the elephant. But you can see an elephant flying. You can see a needle, the needle expanding. You can see the elephant shrinking. You can imagine things that are normally not observed in a very different type of way. And therefore, in a dream, things can also move very quickly. Not only can be opposite things, feelings, you can feel afraid, you can feel happy, this is very in quick succession, but you can actually go from one state to another state very quickly in a dream. That's what the Alter Rebbe explains, that's the idea of a dream state. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe talks us in terms of avoided, that a person davens, a person learns, and then, you know, they have a gishmaka davening, a very intense davening, they feel really connected to Hashem, and then 5 minutes later, they feel stuck in the darkness of life and all the tears of parnasa and everything that's bothering them about their livelihood, and they feel like that they're not real, they're schizophrenic, or they're not true to themselves, because if the davening was really real, then during the day they should feel the effects of that. And the Rebbe says no, it's a unique chalmim. It's possible that your davening is very real if it is real when you're davening. And then 5 minutes later, it's possible that you're really going to have a lot of tittus aparasa because your mood swings, moves from one state to the next. So there's an idea of vatamoidna. This is on a deeper level, they're saying, that Yosef sees the dream of Pari, because the dream of Pari is the beginning of the Golas and also eventually the beginning of the Gula, because he sees the dream that way, he sees these two opposite things in that dream. Vatamoidna, that Paris sees of Moino, it's all Paris, and Yosef was able to interpret this dream this way. He was able to see the hafachim, the opposite things that are simultaneously happening. Because the opposite things are starting to happen is the state of dream, which in fact is the state of Golos, the state of exile. Now, the simple reason why during a dream you can see hafachim is because the conscious brain is quiet. That's what happens in a person's dreams. The logical part of the brain, systematic part of the brain that thinks in sequence, 1 + 2 = 1 + 1 = 2, is quiet. So more the imaginary part of the brain, the Koyach Medama, is now more awake. And because that's more awake, therefore, a person can see things, contradictory things that are happening simultaneously. But the Pnimius Tikkun reason, and this is all that also continues over there, is that the Pnimius, the deeper reason for that is, because the shoyish of Golas comes from the Chinas Igulim. The shoyish of Golas comes from a place called Eagle. Eagle means a circle. So there's generally something that's called the Kav and the Eagle. These are two anhagas, the two ways of Hashem connected to the world. One is cyclical and one is linear. In the cyclical world of Eagle, which is a higher realm, where there's no sequence, where everything is simultaneous, in a world of eagle, because the reason why galus is ayinu kachama, like we're in a dream state, the superficialism is because our seichel is not so, our intelligence is not so strong. Therefore, only the koyach of adam is more present, the power of imagination. But at a deeper level, it's because the koyach of eagle is being revealed. Finally, Deborah connects this to the idea of Yosef, that the reason why the interpreter of the dream was specifically Yosef is because Yosef Shoyrish on the Shama is connected to Olam, the world of eagle. And because Yosef Shoyrish is an eagle, therefore he was able to combine these two opposites. So the Rebbe goes through a thread of an idea in the Sikha, first explaining on the level of the Pshat how this works. What was the chiddush of Yosef's interpretation? What was the chiddush of Yosef's interpretation? How come Yosef offers advice? And then the Rebbe goes up according to a more pneumistic understanding is that the reason why Yosef was able to interpret the dream, to see the hafachim, which is the idea of galus, is because the shayish of Yosef is connected to the world of eagle. Because the shayish of Yosef is connected to the world of eagle, that's Yosef's bechina. The bechina of Yosef is also in the same side, which is the idea of connection. Yosef was able to connect the hafachim. This is a deeper understanding of why Yosef was the person. In other words, to understand it al pi nigla, this is also the way the Mahalach and Likud HaSichas is, to see the entire Torah as a Chativ Achas, as one Metzias, called Torah Kul Metzias Achas, which means not only called Torah Kul Metzias Achas, not only is the entire Torah one Metzias. When you have a question and you want to understand something, you have to understand it according to the literal Pshat, first understand the Oymek Pshat, understand Mamash on the Pshat level, on the literal level, to decode it, to make sure you understand it on the Pshat. And then to understand that the Pshat level is a reflection of something that's going on a primistic level, on the soil level. And they're actually part of the one thing. That in order for us to understand the pshat of something, you have to understand the primis of it. In order for us to understand the primis, you have to understand the pshat. You can't understand the pshat without the primis. You can't understand the literal without understanding the deeper, because the chativa achas is one mitzias, it's one existence, one term. And in order for us to understand the primis, we have to first establish what the pshat is, and they're always consistent. There's always a consistency. There's a teaching by the Maram Epano, one of the great Mukubalim scholars of Italy, Talmud and Ramak from that school. And it's brought down many times. I just want to point one thing out, then we'll go to something that the Rebbe writes about this Maram Epano. So Maram Epano says, it's a Mamechika Din Chela Gimel Perichot Be'ez. There's a Sikha on the Kut of Sikhas Chela Gimel Achar Ashuas. There's a Sikha with regards to the Fuas of Shas. Brings down this Maram Epano. So let's just read what the Maram Epano says. Maram Epano writes like this. Maram Epano writes, talking about the idea of the Torah, and he says that the Torah is the Chol Torah Shemedaberes Be'etzem Lo Yoyin. The Torah, in essence, speaks about the above. V'remezes B'shniyas B'tachtoyin. And in essence, is talking about something that's above. And derech agav b'shnius, in its secondary form, it's meramas, it's alluding to something that's talking about in tachtoyim. So Torah medaberes be'elyonim, be'etzem elyonim, Torah is talking about above, and is roimas b'tachtoyim, and it's alluding to below, which means that when you read the Torah, read the psukei Torah, let's say we're learning the story now of Miketz, and there's a pare, and there's a Yosef, and there's a dream. So the Maram Epano is saying is that the etzem really pare, we're talking about pare bel yoinim, pare which represents a higher madrega, a spiritual realm. The way pare exists within a spiritual realm, it says as Chassidus that pare represents isparin, the chol nehurin, represents a very high light, a very high or, Yosef represents Olam Igulim, like we brought down, and Acholim represents the world of Igulim. So it's talking about really the Etzem, and this Etzem is talking about something that's above. And then it also becomes embodied within a character called Pare, a living being that lived in a certain time. He was called Pare, and there was a person called Yosef. So the Etzem, it's talking about something that's spiritual, and it's a reflection, something that's in the physical world. And then the Ramban continues, even though the Ramban writes differently. What does the Ramban write? Ramban, in the beginning of Bereshis, writes that HaKosav Yidaber B'Tachtoinim B'Yimrz B'Elyonim, that the Pasuk is really talking about Tachtoinim, the lower, and it's alluding to the Elyonim, the higher. So what it's actually talking about is Tachtoinim, the below. And the remez, what it's alluding to, what it's hinting to, is something that's above. So the Ramban says that's the opposite of life. This is what the Ramban says. Because he says the Ramban is following the understanding of Dibutari Kalashim Nayodam, that the Torah is talking in the language of man, which means that the language of man is really what the Torah is talking about. It's Yidabit Ptachtoim, it's talking about the lower, but it's alluding to something that's higher. The Ramban says, no, it's the opposite. Dibru b'nei Adam k'loshna Torah. Our speech is a reflection of divine speech, of the higher speech. The Torah is medaberes bel yoinim, speaks about above, and alludes to the below. In Lukut Sichus Chelek Chav Gimel, the Shul is Gimel, never brings down this Maram upon him. You do the Klab Chazal. It's known this principle in Chazal from our sages. And just the Maram upon him. A Torah medaber is be'etzim dol yoinim v'remez is b'shniv b'chtoim. It's speaking about an essence above and it's only alluding to the below. This is something that the Shalah HaKadosh as well is ma'arech. The Shalah HaKadosh speaks about this a great line. And the tzion is also to look at the Torah of the Arizal, the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. We talks about that the Torah Bereishis Bar Elokim, this base, it's Torah Sabriya. That's the world of duality. Therefore, the Torah starts with the letter base. Yerushalmi speaks about why the letter, the word of the Gemara and the Chazal Medrash brings down why is this Torah start with the letter base. So the Arizal says. The deeper reason why the Torah starts with the letter Beis, because the Torah of Bereishis, of Beis, is the Torah of Bria, of creation. And there's a higher level of Torah, which is the Torah of Aleph, the Torah of Datsilas, which starts with an Aleph. The Torah of Datsilas is the Torah of the transcendence. So what we have, Kaviyachul, is already the Torah that's the remez b'tachtoinu, that's the illusion of the below, but the essence of the Torah, the etzem of Torah, is b'yoinim, is higher. Yeah. Then the Rebbe continues like this over there. It says not that pshat means akosiv yagad d'atayin v'yirim is b'yoinim. Not pshat is that the not it doesn't mean what the Ramban writes apparently that akosiv. What the Ramban actually writes, but apparently it means Akasiv Yagad Tachtoinim V'Yirim Zayin. The Pasuk is really talking about below, and alluding to below, to above. Navaker, the opposite. Torah that's Milyon. Torah is actually speaking about the above, how these things exist within the spiritual realm, and they're only Meramas Tachtoinim how they exist within the physical realm. Then there it continues. Avad, certainly, Emikri Yitzneb Shukri. Certainly, the Pasuk cannot be stripped away. Strip from its simple interpretation. And you cannot say that the pasuk is only to the sukkim of the Torah are only talking about a ruchnistic union. And the tziyun is the shayach tziyun zaraj b'chelek aleph siman tov yitzayin. With the Rajba over there, it's not the Rajba itself, but it's a long snatzas to the Rajba. There was that period of time. After the Rambam, after the Rambam wrote the Moira, there were many groups of Yidden that became tremendous scholars of the Rambam, and they at some point they started certain people started interpreting the Torah allegorically. And the whole Torah is an analogies. It's an allegorical tale. It's a remez. So you're learning, for example, which incidentally this Taka the Zohar Kodesh writes is that Avram, you know, this is that Sarah passed away in Kiryas Arba in Hebron. That Sarah represents the Guf, Avram represents the Neshama, and the Kiryas Arba represents the four elements. Hebron represents the Chibur, the four elements. The Sarah, the body returns back to the four elements. This was the type of interpretation that was going on. So they were stripping Psukei HaTorah, the Torah, from its literal pshat, and saying it's all a remazim, it's all just remez. And then there was a ban because of this. There was a ban on general, and the Rashba signed the ban against learning philosophy because aimikaretim lekshuta. You have to read the psukim, you have to read the kipshuta. That the Avram means Avram. It was Avram. Sarah means Sarah. There was a person called Avram. There was a person called Sarah. They were living people. They lived at a certain period of time. They passed away. This is real people. I was like, no, they're real people, but they're real people. In this understanding of the realness of the physicality, you should also understand, so first of all, that it's clear that it's the Yitzhak. However, the essence of the Torah, the Medaberes Etzem Bel Yoinim, Pirimedes B'tachtoim. It's talking about above, and it's talking about and alluding to below. But the Ramban writes the opposite. It's talking about the below and alluding to the above. And that, the Rebbe writes, this is the Lashon HaRamban. That it's possible to say that the Ramban is actually not arguing that what the Maram Panuk says, that the Torah is talking about the above and alluding to in the below, where the Ramban says the Torah is talking about the below and alluding to the above, there actually is not an argument. The Rebbe doesn't actually marach on this explanation. He says that it's not a machloikis. It's actually not. It's not an argument. They're saying the same thing. What's Rebbe saying the same thing? I think this is the nekuda of this sikha and a lot of the Rebbe sikhas. That what? That there's an understanding. There's two ways to understand this. You can say things exist in a spiritual realm, and then it devolves from a spiritual realm into a physical realm, and the physicality of something, the physical world in general. We say that the Torah is a roshim of the kus, the Shalach Kadosh writes, and the world is a roshim of the Torah, an imprint of the Torah. So there's like the essence of the thing, its purity, which is the ruchnistic level, the spiritual level, and then it devolves into a place where it becomes a physical level. That's one way of understanding. The deeper understanding is, and what's revealed in Torah Chassidus, and the Alter writes this in Tanya, and later in the Geras HaKodesh, that with greater Arichis, that there's a concept of knows Tchilosim Soifim Vesoifim Tchilosim, that the beginning is wedged in the end and the end in the beginning. It means there is the Seder Ishtalshlus, which is the evolvement of creation from one spiritual realm to the other spiritual realm. And in the evolvement of one spiritual realm to the other spiritual realm, the ilo is always higher than the olo. The cause is always higher than the effect. So Bria is higher than Yetzirah. And Atzil is higher than Bria. That's within the spiritual realm, within the great chain of being, if you wish. But mitzad ha'koyach ha'atzmius, that the gashmis of this world, the physicality of the world, which seems to be the lowest rung, is in fact tied to the beginning. Just like Atzmus Ein Sof, Kaviyachu, the essence of the Creator, if we can talk about this, is in essence, Mitzuyusei Matzmusei, he creates itself, means its existence just is. It has no prior existence, of course. If it's a prior existence, then that itself would be the Atzmus Ein Sof. descending also in this world, the world labors, the physical world labors in the illusion that it creates itself. Why does it labor in this illusion that it creates itself? Because it comes from the koyach atzmus. That in gashmis, the physicality is actually rooted in the atzmus. The atzmus is reflected in the davar gashmi, in the physicality. Since atzmus is an atzmistic thing, is an essence thing, it can't be revealed in the place of gilui, in the place of revelation. In the place where there's a revealing of Hashem's presence, a revealing of Hashem's light, that's not the essence of the creator. It's a light that's being created, that's being revealed. So there's a higher light, a lower light, and a more diminished light, but it's not the essence. The essence is beyond the light. And therefore, the essence is revealed in the essence of creation, of physicality, which doesn't have the light, apparently. It doesn't reveal that light as much as, or it appears to be that it's obscuring that light. So this is the Chiddush in Torah and Chassidus in general. and specifically, more so in the Rebbe's Torah, in Kutas Sichas especially, and in the Maimorim, that if you really want to be Makashi yourself, with the Atzmi saying so, if you want to really connect with the Atzmi saying so, it's actually Dafka in the Gashmi, it's specifically in the Dover Gashmi, in the physical thing. Because a physical thing is the notes, Tchilos and Masoif and Soif and Klos, the edge is when the beginning and the wedge and the end. That's where the Atzmi of the thing is expressed, the essence of the thing, and the essence of physicality. So now let's understand what the Rebbe is saying, and these two understanding. If the Torah is talking about the Torah is really talking about above and only alluding to below, or the Torah is actually talking about the below and only alluding to the above. And the answer is, Mamash, the answer is that they're both simultaneously true and they're not contradictory to each other. It depends on which perspective you're talking from. When you're talking from the perspective of the above, it seems like the above is its essence, and that's the below is only the reflection. But you're talking from the perspective of the below, it seems like the below is the essence and the above is only the reflection. Because in truth, the essence of the above is one and creates the essence of the below. In simple language, in terms of the way we understand the term. Dafka, there's this Pshat Ramez Dursh Soid, and then there's the Yechida, or level what the Emek Kabbalah calls the Neshama of Neshama, which is the Soid. which is Chassidus, which is the fifth Madrega. And the fifth Madrega, which is the highest Madrega, includes all the four. But where is the fifth Madrega revealed even stronger? Where is the highest revealed Dafka in the lowest? So in order for us to really understand the highest level of Soy, the highest level of the secret, of the open secret, the secret that there is no secret, the highest level of Torah Chassidus, the highest level, is Dafka by understanding the Pshat. The more we understand the Pshat, the more we can understand the Soy. The more we understand the Soy, the more we can understand the Pshat. So it's a chativa achas. Not only is it a chativa achas, but in order for us to get to the essence of something, to the essence of what's really going on, we have to dafka learn pshuta shamikra, and a strong emphasis on pshuta shamikra. And that's why there was such a strong emphasis on pshuta shamikra, on the literal interpretation of Pshat, because dafka in the pshuta shamikra, well, if we really understand the Oimek HaPshat, we can actually understand the Oimek HaSoid, the deepest secret, because the Notz Chlosim B'Soif HaSoif HaKlosim. And it's interesting that this structure is revealed in every single Torah. But particularly when we're just learning partially the case, we're learning about Yosef, to understand that Yosef, the person, the more we understand about Yosef, the person, physically, who Yosef was as a person that was always a unifier, the one that was able to get the brothers to get together, the one that was able to get his father to get together with his brothers and with him, the one that was able to unify all of Mitzrayim in the years of plenty and the years of famine, the one that was able to make a chibur, the one that was able to make, Midasai said, because he comes to the Olam Yigulim, because he comes to the world of this place of Yichud, we see this and reflected and we're embodied in his physical life, and because we understand that how it's embodied in his physical life, we understand it deeply how it works on the pshat level, we can understand how it works on the soid level, because that's where the shoyish and the shama, the source of Yosef HaTzadik, the shama comes from. And the more we understand the shoyish and the shama, it comes from Yigulim, the more we can understand the pshat level of what actually happens in the story of Yosef, and how Yosef becomes the great savior of Mitzrayim, and eventually of Klal Yisrael, of the children of Yaakov.